Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's February 2nd, 2016, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. And we're coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in Northern California, Santa Cruz Mountains. Let me tell you this about Lupin. Lupin, clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and always a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored, for which we're so grateful that we have the sponsor, which is Go Raw. Natural food, good for you. It's really pure, about as pure as you're going to get. And Universe Spirit. One of the major forces behind our coming to grips with the impending climate change. But we'll deal more with that later. For tonight, our subject is, and I'm going to tell it to you, Rochelle, first. You're something else.
You're something else.
So in other words, like together, we're kind of something else?
Yeah, we're always something else, though people think that this is all there is. What they are is what it is. But they don't know there's something else. Ha, 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 ha. And we're going to let them know tonight what that something else is that they are.
And possibly something else again.
Absolutely.
A lot of us limit ourselves to who we think we are or what others say about us. Those are really limitations. I think we're actually, I don't think.
No, you think all the time.
Now that I think about it, it is a thinking thing. This would be coming from the thinking part of who I am, especially if I'm something else. But I believe we're beyond that, and that something else, what is it? How is it discovered? How something else can add so much dimension, richness, and last but not least, or first but not last, humor. When you know who you are as the something else, things lighten up. That's what we're going to explore tonight.
All becomes fun. Well, some of it doesn't seem like fun when you're in the middle of it, and like you're really suffering and it's very painful.
No, it's not fun.
Like a friend of mine got food poisoning a little while ago, and she said from both ends she was doing her stuff, and it was not fun. Afterwards, when you think about it, it's funny.
Right. It's true.
If it was in a movie, you'd be laughing.
That's probably why we go to these movies. There's a part of us that goes to experience us being something else to the degree that we get involved with and identify the protagonist or the antagonist or the actor that we see. Our whole thing about celebrity in our culture is how we project onto these images, because that's really all we ever have is an image of these identities, and we ascribe certain qualities to them. And somehow the fact that they're bigger than life makes it better for us.
It does. It's not an easy kind of thing to realize. There's a young actress who's all of a sudden is being touted as the next it person. She's it. Brie Larson. She won several awards for her role in a movie called Room, and she's been nominated for Best Actress at the Academy Awards. I had read an interview about it and how it's all so overwhelming. Well, she has a sense of her own self, but all of a sudden that self is being blown out of all proportion. And it's not an easy thing. One day you're just who you are and you're making movies, and the next day you're this bigger, like you said, bigger than life. Everybody's got an idea of who she is, and that's being touted everywhere. So for the person who is just a person.
One of them.
And all the people, all the publicists, and all the people who want to make money on her, have to constantly enlarge her image to the point where it's no longer real.
Hi, this is Barney. This is something I know a lot about you. It seems to me that people are always foisting their image of themselves on you. And the way you know that is true, if you say something where they feel insulted, they get all upset, like, boom, they get puffed up with arrogance because they have an image of how they're supposed to be. In order to be able to insult them, you have to attack that image. You can't be or feel insulted, as I have found out, when you're being to something else that's not invested in some image that has to be maintained. Otherwise, you're history.
There's this place I'd like to go anyway, to be imageless or have no image. There's real freedom there. Prior to that, there's chameleon, like you can be anything. And it doesn't matter. You just can change colors wherever you are. That's a prelude to true freedom where you have no image. But it's definitely a step towards like having to hold on to an image above all else, because then you're always in a defensive place where you can lose your image.
That's why it's a defensive place here. So you got to slap out a guy around the side of the head because he said something, you know, about some part of your anatomy or your family or the relationship you may have had with your mother, which is quite often a very insulting thing. You know, like you're a mother something or other, fill in the blank.
You're something else.
But it's very curious in our effort to be something, let alone something else. We should take the mother thing, and when we put that other word with it, the F-U-C-K-E-R word together. I don't know why I'm spelling it here, because I feel like I'm on the radio show, and maybe you got listeners who don't like the word. But anyway, it's certainly used plenty out there. You don't need me to be another one who says F-er word, right?
As if nobody knows what you said, Barney. But you're right. Don't say it. It has a kind of hardness to it.
We like it. It's very good for expressing that hard, biting, jagged edge of our nature, often as not. And so that's why we can say with someone with a lot of vigor and energy, you, her. And it's interesting to me that in the effort to try and know who we are, we think that by sending out this loaded, angry message with those words, clothing it, somehow that other person is going to shrink in the face of the onslaught of that attack.
Sometimes it's true. They do shrink in the onslaught of that attack. You always have to pick your victim.
I've shrunk many times. I found myself shrinking back into myself. And I really understand what it is to be a coward. You cower, you pull back out of fear, and you kind of back up into a fetal position, into a corner, and then you cover yourself with a cloak of shame. Then you are truly, in that sense, something else. But one thing is important to remember, no matter who you are, what sense of self you've got going or turned into, it's all built on the shoulders of other people that have come before us.
For the young to stand upon, stepping lightly on the backs of those who hold me up. It's a chain of life unending, never new and ever bending. Grateful is the heart for the chance to be alive. I see where I am now, at the table of the harvest. Before me went the plow and the trees that grew to forest. There's a chain of life behind me, from here to the horizon. Each generation rising from the one that went before. I'm making my shoulders strong for the young to stand upon, stepping lightly on the backs of those who hold me up. It's a chain of life unending, ever new and never bending. Grateful is the heart for the chance to be alive. I see the young ones coming, hearts open and hopeful. Their dreams will be unfolding on the ground we leave behind us. Take the best of what you're given, make a joyous dance to living, and somewhere in the spinning, you too will sing this song. I'm making my shoulders strong for the young to stand upon, stepping lightly on the backs of those who hold me up. It's a chain of life unending, ever new and ever bending. Grateful is the heart.
Chain of Life by Susan Osborne. And where I tuned into her, literally, was she was on a Paul Winter album. For those of you who don't know who Paul Winter is, he played for the Red Sox.
Errol Strider,
no,
do not
different
say.
Paul Winter. And he's had a group, Paul Winter Consort. Wonderful group. And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. And let me tell you, listener out there, believe it or not, you're something else.
I had to get into that something else that's more than else.
There's something, there's else, and then there's beyond else.
But there's something that we are that is undefinable, but so strong. There are sometimes when we come into a situation that seems unsolvable and we're backed up to the wall, that something else comes out. People say, well, I couldn't believe I did that. In terms of like, you know, rescue somebody or say something that is really strikingly magnificent, inspires everybody, but it just comes out at that moment. That comes from something else.
Well, it's that something else that's wanting to, it's inside us constantly expanding so that it wants to break out. And that's what we experience, right, Rabbi? The breaking out, the stretching. Hello, yeah, this is Rabbi Greenberg. Breaking out, yeah, the self, something other that's inside there. It starts really small, just like your outside self started really small, a couple of cells, that's it. Very inexpensive to get started, a couple of good cells, in a hurry. At least one of them was in the hurry, the other had been waiting around, the cell and the egg. Hey, very patient cell, the egg cells. The other cells, the sperm cells, boom, let's get there. Hey, we're going to miss out. Anyway, that's what happens when the self becomes something that's a little different, that's inside. There is this thing, it's breaking out, and it's just like a muscle has to be broken in order to grow, has to be actually ripped up a little bit. That's what happens when you're lifting weights. You're ripping your muscles, and then muscles come in and fill in the blank. And it's like that with the soul, with the something else that's growing. It's getting so big on the inside. It wants to break out. And the best way to let it break out, if you don't want to explode or implode, is to just give yourself away.
And how do you give yourself away?
You just allow yourself to be exactly the way you are. You take off judgment. You acknowledge and be honest with yourself. And you say, this is who I am today. I am a part of something that I don't really understand. And I hope it likes me.
I think it was Nelson Mandela, but I'm not sure of the source. But I read this piece once about that thing we're most afraid of is being as big as we are. The something else that we are is huge. It's so big that it's scary. Because we can't lock it up. We can't put borders around it. We can't put a face on it. So in order to control ourselves, we have to create a smaller self, a much smaller self that we can move around. We can take with us wherever we go. Because the big self that we are is too big for us to manipulate. we have to, as you said before, let it go.
And this is Father O'Malley there. And sure, that self is eager to expand. It got a taste of expanding itself and being fed with something that's the sole equivalent of good chocolate. There you have it.
You're something else.
Imagine your soul, just good chocolate coming your way all the time. Well, the soul, you see, you understand what the something else is now. See, there's this permanent presence that makes it possible for you to even be in existence. That's just constantly there, holding you here in existence. And then you've got this experiential self that's doing stuff. The two work together to form what's the other self. Something else. And that something else is a combination of where that oneness that's always present and the experience can attach to it and become a permanent part of the oneness that's always present. And so the issue then becomes, that is, what is the experience that will attach to the permanent presence that the mind can choose and the will can put in action?
So you're saying the experiences that we choose create who we are. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, indeed. That is what I'm saying. Well, let me tell you what it's like. It's like a camera. If you think of the camera as your consciousness, and it's aimed this way, and it's aimed this way, and you've got some control, you let in a little bit of light, or a lot of light, or you have the speed going down really slow, so it's on for more time. The situation or the issue, but at a certain point, you snap the picture. And what gets put on the negative there, which is like the self that's being built, is, in fact, where the light is almost perfectly balanced there. And that's what we like to see Ansel Adams there, because of his photographs, where the light and the shadow are in beautiful balance, and both reveal the beauty of each other and who they are as one whole being. And that's what gets implanted on the soul, all of those moments. The balance between the shadow and the light is maintained, which is why they said there that Yeshua, Jesus, was the most perfectly balanced person there ever was. So he was like the ideal photographic character. I think it makes sense. So you're saying that when the picture is taken of any given incident, if you don't block it out, like close it off with darkness, so that would be like with fear. Oh, that's right. Fear is what it would be. Okay, so it'd be with fear, or something else could block out the experience, or just variations on fear. Like guilt, for example. Guilt is a good one. It's just a way of fear dressing up itself so it can hide a little better. But as soon as you let the light in your life, well, then that takes the picture and there you are. You know, something else.
Well, it's a picture that you have painted of something else. Like, I think I painted another picture, but that's good because we have all these different pictures. You get a better idea of what something else is.
That is so true. But just for a basic something else, I think it's great to realize that we can be, well, here's a guy who said it really well, and that is to realize you are something else.
I've been moved to tears. I've been stilled by what I saw. And down through the years, I think I've pretty much seen it all. Seven seasons, heavenly symphonies, rows of red roses in bloom. The Eiffel Tower, Van Gogh's sunflowers, I've seen a man on the moon. And I stood there amazed by the beauty and wonder, took it all in, and I said that was something. Everything I've seen, you're still the fairest one. 'Cause baby, everything pales.
That would be Ricky Skaggs singing, "You're Something Else. You've Never Been Before." So here we have these shoulders that we stand on, and then all of a sudden out comes you, each of us. You listening, Leonard? Listeners? That's what they call them. Excuse me. I forget your name sometimes. Just kind of a mental freeze up.
Because you're something else.
Well, I like being something else.
It's interesting because the phrase itself can be derogatory. Oh, you're something else. In other words, what you are is too much to take in, even. It's something else. And then from derogatory, it can be an exploration of magnificence. You're something else, something bigger than anything I could imagine. So it's a funny phrase in the sense that it can be used for both.
That's why we've chosen it, because it has such range. Mm-hmm. We like to pick phrases, each in our programs.
I think of them as metaphysical phrases sometimes.
Well, we turn them into metaphysical phrases by the fact that we take a metaphysical approach, which is an accurate way to describe what we're talking about, because in many ways, the something else that we're moving toward is metaphysical in the sense that it's physical, but it's more than it added some meta. It went down to the meta store where they have all kinds of meta. They got meta four, they got
meta five.
There's all kinds of meta. So you get the meta and you can attach it to any word you want. So you want to add to the physical, be our guest. We just sell the metas. We don't tell you what other word you have to attach them to.
Or how you use them.
Exactly.
We're very, very egalitarian.
We are. I think we're very fair. And we don't put too much demands on you.
You're something else.
Yeah. So when you think about yourself, Rochelle, as being something else, you know, about yourself, what comes up for you?
I'm more than my little self. I'm my bigger self when
Which
I'm something
for Rochelle
else.
Is not a big stretch.
Oh,
Rochelle,
come on.
A little person.
I'm not a little person. I'm a petite person.
Petite.
Petite person.
Ah, oui, petite, not little, but petite.
Petite.
Ah, oui, chérie.
Oui, I'm a petite. Some friend of mine called me diminutive.
Ah, oui, you are diminutive, and this is Marcel. I have not been with you or on this program for several weeks, but I always enjoy listening to you. Oui, voilà. But something else. I had a customer come in to the other day. She was something else. Oh, she was like a phantom, like the opera, singing in her presence. And she was very something else. And I know that because she ordered the beef bourguignon. And that's...
well, Marcel, you're a Frenchman. If it's a beef bourguignon and she ordered it, she's something else.
I knew that for her, the beef bourguignon was allowing herself, that was the something other, to emerge and be able to enjoy the meal fully, which the something else, you would want to love the meal. And the person who is that is the person that is the something else. And so we have the something else for dinner.
Because you're something else. We can become something else the minute we accept ourselves as not something else, as it. As we accept ourselves as who we fully are, there's no judgment about anything in ourselves, that we're fully us. And that's when we can become something else.
It is like a escargot. You have the meat inside and the garlic sauce, and you have it all together, and you suck out the inside of the snail's shell, and you are having a très bien experience, and you go, oh, this is good. This is life. I so appreciate that we are having life. And so, just because I'm saying that, I would like to say that... what am I trying to say?
I don't know. You're something else. I think you've lost it.
I did lose it.
Where did you go?
I don't know. Let me go look for it while you listen to A Life That's Good. Pourquoi non? Is, I would assume, a good life. Life That's Good by Lennon Stella. The character of Maddie and Chip Easton, I think the character of Deacon, on the show Nashville, which I've never seen, but I've heard some of the music like that song. Enough love to share. That was a phrase that jumped out at me in that song. A life that's a good life where there's enough love to share. Now, if there's an infinite amount,
there's always enough love to share.
But I think why we miss that is because we think we have to get it from out there and bring it in. In fact, the other self is recognizing that it's already inside. And the way you get to experience it...
What do you mean the other self?
What's our subject for tonight?
You're something else.
That self. Something else that knows it's everything and that it just needs to release it out into life and guide how it expresses itself. The reverse of that is the source of all our addictions. We're always trying to get it out there and it never satisfies, and so we become greedier and more addicted. Food, experience, ideas, drinks, substances, whatever. Something that we desperately try and hold on to give us that sense of self and experience it. But it's not really experienced until we let it out.
Of course not. It's not even real unless we can share it, because otherwise you can't see it. Like, I had a piece of candy today and I shared it with somebody, and watching her enjoy it and watching her appreciate it made me like that candy even more, even though I really like that candy, and when I eat it, I enjoy it, and I'm grateful to have it. But watching her do it made the experience more for me. And I was eating it at the same time, but watching her enjoy it somehow made my experience of it more.
Good evening, this is Professor Umberg. I think you're just spot on with what's the central point, the eye of the storm, if you will, and that is the shared experience. Fundamentally, the universe is a shared experience that The divine source of all existence has at its core the intent to share all of itself. But it was already filling up everything already, so it had to move over. Not easy thing for the divine self to do, by the way, to kind of scrunch up. But it did. In fact, it scrunched itself up into every one of us. That's exactly right. Each of us is a scrunched up of the divine source, like the Big Bang, the little thing that exploded, and we're that, and it bunches up. And that's how I know that we are the source. And so we just let it start exploding out from us and guide its expression so that it doesn't too much interfere with other people's will and is not very abrasive and is sensitive to the level of receptivity that one may encounter.
Somehow, I'm not feeling totally comfortable with the fact that this something else precludes the self that exists. Like it's some place that we have to get to or go to. And yet what I'm aware of is this something else is just an expansion of here. Like I want to see the sunset and I'm behind something, let's say. I can't see it, but the minute I move out from behind that, let's say our fears and whatever, then I can see the light. But the light is there all the time. It's nothing I had to really find. What is just a matter of seeing it. Getting in a position to see it so that the something else is not something I have to aspire to as much as I have to just recognize that it exists, that I am it. I'm already it.
The flip side of that is don't be something you ain't.
One day my daddy told me above the world of love, he said, don't let anybody tell you you're not good enough. The juices and the gravy, you can mix the colors and the paint, you can drive the older men crazy, but don't be something you ain't. You can search for fortune and glory, you can read the writings of a saint, you can keep on adding to your story, but don't be something you ain't. Chasing your dreams, not as hard as it seems, if you follow a feeling that's true. Don't be afraid, 'cause the love that you made will lead you out. You can see the world, seven wonders. You can take your daddy on a date. You can move to Paris in the summer, but don't be something you ain't. Think on your feet, 'cause the people you meet may not be who they tell you they are. Wherever you be, you must always believe in your heart. Oh, you can save a puppy from a fire. You can keep on flirting till they faint. You can be the source of their desire, but don't be something you ain't. No, 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 no. Don't be something you ain't. Don't be something you.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder sometimes when I'm alone if the world will open up to me. There are so many doors and locks and keys. Oh, I have my keys and the chains to hang them on. Still, so many doors. Some doors won't close, while others close me out. People are doors, aren't they? Mostly closed doors. I have no keys for them. I barely have enough courage to even knock or scrape the paint off. Covered over with paint, layer upon layer. I wonder sometimes when I'm alone of others sitting alone, wondering about their aloneness, feeling themselves surrounded by closed doors, trying to determine if the light seeping through the crack really has any source. Well, that was a poem I wrote and produced called Blessed Are the Poor in Spirit. I think it'd be good to be aware of that. And the song by Aaron Boehm is Don't Be Something You Ain't. I thought that was really good advice. I especially like the lyric where she says, the love you made will lead you. That's profound. The love you made will lead you. In other words, you make the love, we make the love, and then it leads us. Well, that's just phenomenal, because that means that we're all carrying upon our person the very wherewithal that we feel we so need to be able to accomplish what it's going to take so that I can experience being the self that I am, that I want, and not something else.
That you ain't.
Right. And that's why this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth. And we're sponsored by Go Raw and Delicious, Healthy, what can I say, and Universe Spirit.
Who is, let's say, ringing the bell to wake us up to understand what's really happening with climate destabilization, that one, we're pretty much a part of it, and we can change and look at our participation in the screwing up of our planet.
Or, I have an or, and the or is, from the point of view of what's constant and what evolution is spawning, it's spawning the soul beings. So these events are just the dramas wherein we get to discover different aspects of ourself that is tried by these events, that calls us into like being courageous, more persevering, more thirsty for knowing what's so and what's real and what's right, or being more punctual or being more gracious or whatever.
We humans are very, let's put it this way, we're not far thinking. We don't really think too far away from ourselves, the majority of us. And what happens is when something gets in our face, then we're like little calculators. We start running a whole bunch of stuff to see what needs to be done in that moment. But in that moment, because it's so right there, we make those decisions. We have a hard time making decisions about things that are not right in front of us. Even though evidence may say, oh, it's coming, it's here, look at this, look at that, these are evidence. We're kind of slow that way. We don't get it. We don't participate in it until it's right there. I think I said that 3 times.
You know something, babe? You're something else.
Get that it's getting there. Sooner than you think.
What's getting there?
Whatever it is that we have to react to.
Oh, it's on its way. We'd like to stoke up the self that is best prepared to meet these challenging circumstances. But unfortunately, like you say, though, we don't tend to do a lot of pre-orienting ourselves. We wait till the calamity
hits us. Oh, yeah. It was, oh, you just stop smoking. Well, yeah, right, right. And then all of a sudden, they can't breathe. And it's like, I have to stop smoking. Well, you know, it's like, yes, you do. But that's just the way we're programmed at this point in evolution.
Speaking of programmed, Professor Schnitzel, do you have some scientific way of approaching this subject of other self? Well, yeah, the liquids on which everything is swimming around. And it's all swimming around in the same liquid, which is the air and the water and the earth and the atmosphere and the consciousness. And science is able to recognize that we're all swimming around in consciousness as well as in these other plateaus of human existence. So you draw from each of these plateaus a certain something. The consciousness takes it and it mixes it up in like a Bunsen burner. The world is a big Bunsen burner. All the things on the consciousness takes and drops it into the Bunsen burner, and it then turns into very hot, and the electrons are trying to escape, and you're going, don't leave me, electrons. I love you. But the electrons are saying, no, no, it's too hot for us, and so we're getting out of here. And so the electrons are the first ones to be able to diagnose where you as the something else might be, or at least what its temperature is going to be, because that will be a very important thing. Once you get to the something else self that you are, it is, how hot is it? Or how cold?
One thing I can tell you, Professor Schnitzel, you're something else. I have to be something else in order to understand what you just said.
Oh, yeah, no, but you are a show. That's right. I love so much being on the show and talking to you and Errol. Errol, by the way, you did something very special today up through the grapevine. Tell us about it. Share it with the listeners out there. I confronted an experience where I kept meeting resistance with a person in the form of their anger, which was, as I see it from their point of view, triggered by my ineptitude. And I'll grant you that. As it plugged into this person's fear, this is how I analyzed the situation. The actuality was there's yelling and attacking going on, and I finally made the choice. I've always held that you have three choices. You can change yourself, you can change the person, or if you can, change the situation. And I've decided, after working on myself and knowing that there's no way I could change the person, to change the situation. And so I fired myself. Oh, good. That's the story that we heard. You fire yourself. It was very good to be able to fire yourself, because that self that you're firing is not the self that you are. So good. Fire the self.
When one is able to see beyond the images that we've set up that say, this is who I am, and the something else, which is who I really am, can emerge, I feel that there's something so glorious about it. Because the something else, for me anyway, and it may be different for everybody else, that something else is free, unlimited. It's just not run by fear. It's just able to deal with situations in a way that's so different than at any other time in their life when they were reacting to situations. Where here they're embracing situations and finding the creative juices in the situation that allow them to expand their own consciousness and expand the situation, turn it into something juicy and delicious and beautiful.
Turn that something else into somebody.
Nowhere, trying so hard to get there, and I
Somebody by Lemonade Mouth. When I think of somebody, we have a somebody here in the house. Our somebody is like the scapegoat, the person we put blame on when, like Rochelle says, how did it get over there? I always know the answer, but I always know it's somebody put it there.
It helps us greatly not blame each other because we have somebody to blame.
And we cherish that somebody.
Yeah, that somebody can make a lot of mess, right. Tell you that right now.
As a matter of fact, we are offering a special deal tonight where we can send you a somebody that you can use in your house to blame anything you want on.
Actually, you can create it yourself. We give you permission. You don't have to spend money on it or buy it.
You don't have to pay us.
You just decide, oh, I want a somebody in my house that I can blame so I don't have to blame my husband or my wife or my sister or my brother or my mother or father. I'm going to blame somebody for everything that I don't like.
It's great. It works. Why it works is because we are in the process of taking ourselves less and less seriously. I've noticed whenever my ire gets up, that's a great phrase. What does that mean when your ire gets up?
It could be a lot of things. Some of them very delicious.
What's your ire?
Ire is what you're upset about.
But I know it's always pride. How do you spell ire?
I-R-E.
That's it?
Like fire ire?
Oh, yeah. Boy, it doesn't use that many letters.
No,
that's probably why they let it in.
It doesn't need too many letters
to
make its point known.
Right. It's like anger, rage, fury, wrath. Ooh, outrage, ire. It's a great word, and it's short. It's inexpensive. When I can feel my ire get up, I watch it. I can feel it's this pride. And what is the pride? It's this belief that I am this person who can do this right thing and that my value is dependent on me doing the right thing. And that means that people in life sees me a certain way. And so when somebody challenges that, I can feel the old ire just rise up right out from its ire source way down inside me somewhere.
Yes, we get our ire up when we feel threatened. But the threat is about our image always. And when you say pride, you know, that's an image that I have to be a certain way and it's a wonderful way and I'm so wonderful. And then if you burst that little balloon, ire. I want to be something else. I don't want to be this little small insignificant being.
Well, I've learned ire speak. It was an online course, ire speak, and how you speak to the ire.
Gently.
What you say to the ire is, it's okay. It's all right. None of that is real. It doesn't matter how you regard it. It doesn't even matter how you regard yourself. You can relax. The ire language is more of a growl. So I had to learn to speak Irish in order to communicate.
You don't speak Irish very well.
I don't.
You don't. No. You're something else. I noticed that some people, they fight and some people retreat when there's somebody yelling at them or somebody getting upset. You tend to retreat and get creative, and which is fine. I tend to lash out and get angry.
I want to give thanks, speaking of you're something else, and a big part of why you're something else is your dad, Joe. Can I say about that quick story that Joe had the decision he made in his life?
And yeah. Well,
you tell the story. We have just about a minute or so about him and his situation.
Well, he was 55 years old and worked in the coat and suit industry in New York City for most of his life. Started out, he was going to college at night and he was working there and at a time when it was depression and people didn't have jobs, he was happy to have one. Anyway, he worked for this designer woman. He worked 6 days a week most of his life, one day off, decided to take a Saturday off. And she said to him, if you don't come in on Saturday, don't come in on Monday, which was a joke to her. And my dad looked at it as a liberation. And he said, you know what? That's the best thing I've ever heard. I'm not coming back on Monday. She almost passed out, of course, but nevertheless, he made a decision to leave that and find something that fit him better and that was more comfortable, and he did.
And that story inspired me. When the person yelled at me, get the hell out of here, I decided, yes, exactly. And so I terminated my position in the office. I don't hold any blame for this person because I understand how emotions can run us and we may or may not have any sense of it or control, and each of us is doing the best we can. And that's the reality. But there's this other part of me that says I got to take care of myself. And so we're all doing the best we can. That's the bottom line, because we're something else. Whether we recognize how much of the something else we are, we'll get it at some point. Don't you think, Rochelle?
Of course we're going to get it at some point. We may not even be in these bodies when we get it.
And then we really will be something else. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Tonight we've looked at your something else. But now we need to let you go. It's time to depart, and we'll be with you again. I hope you can join us. And send me an email, estrider@gmail.com. estrider@gmail.com. And go to our website, thelaughingheart.org. And Rochelle, what do folks need to remember?
You have to remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. You're something else.
You're something else.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.